plan at us.
Order, all commissioners are present except for Commissioner Tim, who is running a bit late. Should be here shortly. First item on the agenda is the adoption of the minutes from April 12, 2017. I think we have a quorum this time. So commissioners, any amendments or motion?
If it's recording.
I move that we adopt the minutes of April 12, 2017.
We have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And due to the number of commissioners in attendance at the May 10th meeting, we've got to wait till Commissioner Tim gets here to approve the May 10th meeting minutes. So we'll reorganize that to the end of the agenda. Bruce, if you could remind me, I'll do my best to remind myself, but.
Keep smiling, please, Brian.
We'll try to take care of that at the end after Doug's here. All right, so moving on, public communications. Anyone from the audience here to speak on an item that is not on our agenda? Please step forward and sign it, please.
Oh, that's recording. It's not telling me it is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thomas Hurd here. My subject is TDRs. Everybody knows what they are. Good. My interest in this is that myself and two other families own the lots in TDRSOT2, Sending Old Town 2. On June 18th of 2015, Planning Commission forwarded to the City Council with a positive recommendation, a revision to the Land Management Code, which would award one TDR for each 1,875 square feet in the historic district, regardless of the underlying zoning. The current methodology means that you get one TDR per the underlying density for that particular zoning, and ours is zoned, it's not HR1. HR1 is one per 1875. And that was the reason, that was the reasoning behind it. In any event, the City Council sent it back to the Planning Commission for further study, which is apparently where things go to die, in further study. This was 1 year and 11 months ago, and to my knowledge, no action has been taken since. So my questions are to you, the planning commissioners. Does anyone know what further study the City Council wanted? I certainly don't. Is there any hope that the PC Planning Commission will readdress this land management change regarding TDRs and re-forwarded it to the City Council? And in general, is the TDR program still viable? I mean, we have been awarded some TDRs, and I have had in the last, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years, 3 inquiries about them, and we discussed briefly, what they were and so on, and we'd be willing to sell them. And heck, yes, we'd be willing to sell them, but nobody's buying. So my last question is, has anybody ever transferred a TDR from one sending zone to a receiving zone? And I have followed this up over the years with Kirsten, and have also met with Bruce, and we discussed the TDRs and the situation and the equity in changing the rules so that every piece of property was treated equally. And the culmination of that was that it did go up to the city council, but they sent it back. So my question like this to you folks is there any way that we can get this process going again?
So let me just respond to those questions, Tom. Thank you, and I appreciate your consideration in this. Is there any hope? There's always hope, Tom, but I don't want to commit to anything at this point because of some of the other priorities the City Council has given us. But this item was returned back to the Planning Commission because some of the receiving zones were no longer appropriate. They had intended to transfer density to the resort bases and to Bonanza Park. Those are not appropriate locations at this point. Some of the resort properties did not want to accept TDRs in their locations. They have enough density. We also are concerned about how the asset is valued. The current code, as you know, does not allow the asset to be valued until the city council determines what the value of the asset is that's being transferred. We have to apply that zoning regulation to it. So it's not a fungible item. There's no asset value until the city approves the transfer. So if you're trying to sell a piece, it's okay. One thing to try and sell, but how are you trying to value when you buy? So that question still hasn't been answered. The TDR showed up on your list of priorities that we went through 5, 6, 8 months ago. We've been sort of distracted by net zero, historic preservation, storefront preservation, and a few other things. So I think TDR has a lot of merit in your neighborhood, and I'd like to figure out how to make it work, even if I have to go to some other jurisdiction and steal their code. But I gotta find a receiving zone. That's where we are on it right now, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's my understanding of where we last left off, which I didn't even recall as being as recently as 2015. But the real underlying problem that I remember is because the current zoning and so many of the would-be receiving zones is already so dense, there's no buyers. They already have what they want and more. So I understand there's willing sellers, but until you have willing buyers, it's got to be a two-way transaction. And you know, you're not going to find a lot of people that are going to, in a already dense, potentially 7-story environment like Bonanza Park, willing to take on even more density unless it's at an extremely cheap rate, which most sellers aren't willing to sell it for. So my solution, and it, you know, it's gained some traction but not a lot, was to just downzone and, you know, make the densities less. Of course, that makes people go crazy, so it didn't really go anywhere after that. But there's sort of a, you know, a hard stop on this because the current zoning is what it is, and unless you're willing to change that fundamental starting point, I don't know that it's a viable program.
Adam, do you mind if I chime in a little
bit? Sure.
Because I did a little research on this when it first came up, and I think I sent it to my fellow commissioners at the time. There are only about 10 TDR programs in the entire country that actually work. There's a reason behind it. You know, there's a whole list of things, and I'll ask planning to share it with you. But you know what Adam said is the downzoning is a huge part of it, where these communities really downzone these zones in order for people to really want to buy that 2,000 extra square feet that they're going to get. Also, banks are helpful. So there's, it's a pretty complicated process. I don't think Park City.
Things like that hold TDR rights.
Right, right.
Yeah, not like Wells Fargo.
I mean, we're not even close to the only city who hasn't figured it out, and many cities have TDR programs that like ours just don't really function because there aren't buyers or sellers or a bank or anything like that. So it's, and I think you asked the question if anyone had bought or sold one, and I don't believe that they have.
I didn't think that there was, but, you know, a miracle could have occurred.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a really interesting subject, and you're not the first person to actually come and talk to us about it, but unfortunately nobody's found a really good formula, at least here yet, and again, only about 10 in the country are operating with any kind of success at all.
Well, I think we hired some thrust, city retained.
The thrust behind it, well, excuse me.
I think the city retains either a consultant or somebody outside, or assigns some city staff to the issue and looked into it. And if it doesn't die here, it dies on a consultant's desk. So, I mean, I'm not giving you a lot of hopeful comments tonight, and I apologize, but some things, you know, just don't work until the facts on the ground change.
What I'm personally looking for is clarity. The property up there is a difficult property, but then lots of property in Park City is difficult due to slope and so on and so forth. And there was also some people who lived in the area who definitely did not want to see this developed. And we did try to develop it, but the Planning Commission turned us down. And so the part that was being held out was that, well, there's those TDRs, and you can do a little work. It's a win-win. You don't have to build anything there, but you're going to get some economic value back out of your property, which is what we were all looking for. And at the same time, the city achieves the end of it not being developed. So that was my hope that something like that could be or would work out, and it's been on the books for a number of years, and apparently that's what you're saying is it's on the books, but it doesn't work.
That is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's fine then. Thank you very much.
You know, sometimes we don't always have answers people like, and this is one of those times. So,
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Just sometimes we don't have answers people like, and this is one of those times. So,
okay. Bye bye now.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
All right. Anyone else from the public wishing to speak on an item not on the agenda? Seeing no one, close the public communications. On to staff and board communications. Bruce, anything?
Just really quick, as you may have heard, the discussion about conventional retail on Main Street is coming back for your opportunity to discuss. A lot of science, a lot of emotion between that one. You'll probably be seeing that one in July. So that's on its way back. Other than that, I still think we're moving on track to be talking about treasure traffic on 10 June.
Okay.
When do you expect us to see the Kimball coming back?
The Kimball remand, I just put a notice to be, or a commentary today for the City Council, that Kimball remand will probably be in July, not any sooner than that. The applicant has not responded with some of the requested information, and they've offered some dates in July.
Okay,
thank you.
All right.
I actually do. I 7195 Little Bell Court. I am recusing myself from that. I sold them the condo, and I was there yesterday.
All right. Any other communications from commissioners?
I unfortunately will not be able to attend the June 28th Planning Commission meeting.
Anybody else going to be missing that meeting as far as I know at this point? All right, looks like it shouldn't be a problem then. Okay, June 28th?
Let me just check.
I think we'll be all right.
I leave the next day, but I should be there.
Okay. All right, done with staff and board communications. Let's roll through some of these continuations. On the 1450, 1460 Park Ave, Kirsten, is that you?
That's actually Anya. Oh, sorry.
Did we even want to make a presentation or just continue it?
No, I would just go ahead and continue this one.
Okay.
There's three and they're all related. One's a conditional use, one's a plat, and one's a condominium plat.
All right, we'll take them one by one.
Okay.
Commissioners, let's open public comment. You know, let's open the public comment all at once on all three. So we'll open the public comment on 1450, 1460, all agendized matters. Anyone from the public wishing to speak on any agendized matter relating to 1450 and 1460 Park Avenue?
I would. And I don't know that I want to speak so much. I just would like to ask a question.
Good. Before you ask the question, go ahead and state your name for the record. Did a piece of paper disappear?
I think the gentleman might have taken it.
Did Tom steal the paper?
You can sign in after.
He didn't get the answer he wanted.
We got him, Tom.
We'll get that going. So go ahead and state your name for the record.
He got the last word, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that will happen.
Dan Moss. I'm an owner of a condominium of the Strubber condominium adjacent to 1450 and 1460. And just a quick question in regard to, I think I missed the prior meeting, but I know they're trying to increase some parking there, and I just was curious to know what the makeup of that increase is, from what number to what number, and what the configuration of that parking is going to look like. And are they going to be pulling straight in? And is there anything other than just paved parking that's going to be there? There are no structures involved. That's what I've been told.
Those are all questions we have. We haven't seen anything more than you have. So I encourage you to attend the June 29th meeting and read the packet beforehand. And that may answer some of your questions. And if it doesn't, then come to the public.
Up to this point, is that parking on that east side, is it meant just to be paved parking? And
I can't remember. And what?
Commission, I just wanted to offer myself. I'm happy to go outside and share whatever answers or questions gentlemen has about parking to the extent I can without us. I mean, we don't have a staff report to refer to tonight, but I'm happy just as a staff member to answer those questions on the
project. That would be great.
Sure.
The simple answer, Mr. Chairman, is we're not increasing the parking over the zone density for parking. No increase in parking. In fact, we're not parking the two historic homes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I go outside and hear the answer?
No.
All right. Anyone else from the public wishing to speak on any agenda as a matter regarding 1450, 1460 Park Ave? Seeing no one, will close the public hearing. Commissioners, I think we need a motion, separate motions on each of these. So
yep.
Who wants to do it?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we continue 1450, 1460 Park Avenue plat amendment to June 29th, 2017.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Wait, June
29th?
June
29th. Isn't that when it goes to council?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm reading. Oh.
Yeah, right. So
when would you like it continued to?
Yeah, sorry.
When does she like it continued?
She does not, the applicant does not want to be on the treasurer meeting, so it's going to be the night before the 28th.
28th.
Okay.
Doesn't she want to be on the treasurer meeting?
You're making me criticize my boss. So just,
all right, well, let's try that same continuation to June 28th, 2017.
You still second that, John?
Yes.
Is that a big change? All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we continue 1450, 1460 Park Avenue conditional use permit to June 28th, 2017.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we continue 1450, 1460 Park Avenue condominium plat to June 28th, 2017.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. 4001 Kearns, I guess there won't be a presentation on this either, but do we need to continue it to June 28th? Because it says 29 on...
Actually, that one to June 14th.
June 14th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they don't Thank fear you. The treasure.
All right, yes. Let's open a public hearing on 4001 Kearns Boulevard, fondly referred to as Park City Film Studios. Anyone from the public wishing to speak on this item? Nan?
No, thank you.
Not at all. Okay. Seeing no one, we'll close public hearing. Commissioners, a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we continue 4001 Kearns Boulevard plat amendment to June 14th, 2017.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, on to the regular agenda. Yearly report on capital improvement projects. Matt, we see you once a year. More than that.
See me around. Good evening, Matt Castle, Engineering Department. During the budget season, so once a year, I come before you with the CIP list put together by staff. I apologize, we did not get the CIP list to you last year for just coordination, trying to get it at the right time. We were not able to pull it off. We do that, we do bring the list to you to review it to make sure that it does meet and is consistent with the general plan. Polly was good, she pulled up a state code that I don't think we realized she beat us over the head with that. We are required to do this, and it's the public uses are to conform to a general plan, and not just buildings, but also road work, any general or public utility, any infrastructure that we build is supposed to conform to the general plan. So it's something that I'll write into the report next year so that you understand that there's more reason than just us thinking we need to do it. The state requires us to do this. I looked through the plan, and usually we like to highlight, and we listed in the description, highlight the projects that we think the planning commissioners would feel have a higher sense to, and just review a little bit more. And that it doesn't look like it happened. I'm in black and white. I don't know if there's highlights on yours or not. So I'm here for questions, or if you've got a chance to review. I know it's a lot of information, a lot of small type. But I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
So I'll offer, if we're actually supposed to be approving this versus just an FYI to us, I don't know how to do that. There's things like, hey, there should be a park and ride on 248 and US 40. And it's like two sentences of information that doesn't include little things like where it is and how it's going to be set up with transit and all those kinds of things. And so to answer a question that says, is that consistent with a general plan? I can't imagine how we answer it from this level of detail. And the good news is most of the stuff doesn't matter because it's like, you know, replace the bus transmission and stuff, which is, I guess, consistent with the general plan. But,
right. I think that what we're trying to do is, administratively, Bruce and I talked earlier today about how we would make sure that each project that went forward that's on the CIP list, that it gets, I wouldn't say an approval, but it's been reviewed administratively. So I don't think the goal today is to have you approve this list, but if you see things that you feel may or may not be consistent with the general plan, that's the goal of today. It's just something that might jump out at you, something that we may need to look at and verify that it's proper.
So you don't, yeah, I guess what we're saying is there's no approval action here. There's commentary that the staff would bring forward to the City Council as part of their budget process.
That answers one of my questions, because I think in the agenda it says regarding capital projects approved by City Council, and then in the report it talks about proposed, some proposed projects in some instances.
This list is proposed to Council. They have not approved it yet. I mean, it's on a 2-year budget, so some of them have been approved from years prior. But this, the goal is to have you look at it, and we would raise your questions to council before they would make final vote on these projects.
So this is more of an information item, just so you can see what's going on. The state legislature kind of wants to make sure the CIP is generally consistent with the general plan. Planning department didn't raise any eyebrows on this one, knowing what's coming forward.
You know, the only question I had was just on the one for suite sidewalks. It says construct sidewalks in suite alley and other parking and pedestrian enhancements concept design. You know, we've had discussion about what happens from storefronts and things like that, and does suite alley actually change its role some, and should additional stuff be built? There was discussion of actually, and I don't know how far it ever got, I think it was a city council discussion about having some retail built over there in a city-owned building that could possibly provide some low-interest retail rental and things like that. It seems kind of odd that we would do much, and again, part of the issue is you have no dollar values or anything else here. I don't know how extensive this is, but it would seem like if you were gonna do, I'll loosely call it kind of a walkability thing along Suite Alley, especially with the lovely granite and everything that we now put down, that it would be part of an overall Suite Alley plan.
Yeah, we've had some conversations on Suite Alley. I think it's 1998 was the Suite Alley master plan, and so it's grossly outdated. It needs to be updated and needs to be looked at again. There's varying positions on what Suite Alley should be, whether it should continue being a back of house alley type facility, or should we bring it forward and be more of a storefront type, and that's a conversation. And this, the concept behind this is, you know, making it more walkable, but at the same time we've got to look at those ideas and more or less update the plan and try to go forward from that updated plan.
So I guess the one comment I would ask to pass on to City Council is, I think trying to figure out what Suite Alley becomes is a hard discussion, and quite frankly, I wouldn't spend a dime on, unless there was a you know, a health issue kind of thing, or you know, some sort of issue where people were, but we just redid the crosswalks and everything there anyway, so I'm assuming that's not the case. So it just surprises me that we would spend money doing a concept when we really don't know what we're shooting for as an end project. And that was the only one that...
Thank you. That's fine.
I had one comment about the Old Town stairs. I was happy to see that it's proposed that three sets of stairs go in on 9th Street, and one is proposed to go in on 10th Street. And I think there's been a ton of building going on around those blocks, and there aren't sidewalks, and I think that community could really use those additional stairs. And I'm hoping that, I think when this has come up in the past, there's been an issue of whether or not the right-of-ways for those stairs is still available, because there are potentially some encroachments into those right-of-ways. So I wonder if you have any...
On 9th Street, we actually have continued to preserve space put the stairs in. So we've got a couple water lines we've added between Empire and Norfolk. But we have always, as everything's been laid out on 9th Street, we've maintained or tried to maintain enough space so that in the future the sidewalk or stairs goes in, that the space is still there. 10th Street's all paved, and I think we have for the most part stairs from Empire down to Woodside.
But not from Empire to Lowell.
But not from Empire, well, you are correct.
And that's proposed, but there's...
It's proposed, and I'm not sure how we're going to pull out, and I'll put a couple more utilities in that right away as we speak.
Some big project going on there, I heard. my fault. All right, any more questions? All right, so there's no action agendized on this, so What do you want us to do, Matt? Say
nothing.
Thank you and
just say thank you and kick me out.
Okay.
But what you can do is be courteous and invite the city engineer back for the next meeting on the 10th.
Yeah,
Matt, you know what? You can come anytime.
The 10th is a Saturday, isn't it?
Is it 14th?
Yeah, it is the 14th.
14th. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, moving on. Next on the agenda is 1900 Park Avenue conditional use permit.
Mr. Chairman, this is Planner Scarf's project. This is to remodel 1,000 square feet of existing deck at Squatters inside the front protection zone and 500 square feet, and then improve the bathrooms for ADA access and provide some additional restroom space. The planning department has reviewed this, city engineers reviewed it, he has some commentary with respect to the drainage on the back of the property, making sure that the stream water quality stays clean. That's a condition of approval. We also have a condition of approval that since this is a pre-existing meets and bounds parcel, they make application to record one lot of record. So no issues. Staff recommends planning commission conduct a public hearing and approve the conditional use permit with the findings of fact, conclusion of the law, and conditions of approval as prepared.
Great, commissioners, any questions?
I have one question about the right turn only coming out of the parking lot there. Is that on both?
No, ma'am, it's on the southeast one.
Just the southeast?
We did discuss on both. We're going to try it on one and see if it's even enforceable. And then as the 224 project moves ahead, then we'll start to sort that one out. You let Castle out of here too quickly. That was his order. Okay.
I do have one. At the going back in history, there were a number of discussions about adding some landscaping as part of the last update, and they're going to be taking out a series of fairly large trees that line the end of that deck, the existing deck. And I mean, they're like 12-inch caliper trees. I just ate there, so I...
Okay, no, you're ahead of me. I barely get out of the pub end of it.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so no, you can tell that when they built the deck years and years ago, they planted a bunch of trees around, and now they're all big, which is nice because, I mean, the fact that they're so tight to the road in the frontage protection zone, it's nice to have that kind of natural buffer there. It looks like they're going to have to take out at least 4 or 5 big trees, and I notice on the plan that I'm looking at page 154 now, you can see the existing trees back on page 151. There's trees drawn now on 154 around the new one, but I was just kind of wondering, I couldn't find anything that indicated any kind of landscaping plan or what those would be, but they're replacing some pretty, in fact, there's a nice picture on page 158 that's a photograph of what's at the end there now. I was just wondering if there was any commitment to what was going to be going back in there, since it's right there on the road.
So I believe the landscape plan is on page 154 with the new plant materials, but I'm not seeing a plant materials list on it.
Yeah.
Ashley's added a condition of approval with replacement in kind. I don't know how you're going to replace a 12-inch caliber.
Oh, like that.
But I think that we could enhance the landscaping.
What condition of approval is that?
Condition of approval number 8, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I agree with you, Steve. I think that that condition number 8 isn't good enough, and that we ought to beef it up and say that the trees indicated on the site plan on pages 152, 153, and 154 ought to be required. I mean, the trees drawn in there.
Yeah, I just think that the key is that they end up putting something. I mean, the plan that they have on page 154 shows a nice number of trees and everything. It's just...
They look smaller, though, if you notice.
Yeah.
They've got the big ones drawn, and then, so obviously it wasn't maybe in the cottage.
You know, if it's the go in and drop the 1-inch aspens in there, and you know, 10 years from now they'll be a little bigger.
So Bruce, is there anywhere that we could condition this in such a way that we get a 2.5-inch
Yes.
Please, okay.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Rather than buggy whips.
Yeah, I mean the deer are going to eat the buggy whips as quick as possible anyway. So no, we would consider going to a 2-inch or a 3-inch caliper on that west and north, west and south side of the deck.
Is that required of them regardless of this condition or no?
I'm sorry?
Is that required regardless of...
If they remove significant vegetation inside the code, there's a requirement for replacement. That's where Ashley's getting this language.
But I mean, there's only, what, 4 trees there now. I have to turn the picture, and they're going to need more than...
Yeah, and there's... And it's not even...
5, 6, 7
Yeah, no, I'm in complete agreement. Go ahead and add the condition of approval. But the trees on the... The trees on the west end of the deck and the north end of the deck be replaced with 3-inch minimum caliper.
And then in terms of the number of trees, should we just key it off the site plan on 154 or how do you...
Yes.
Record? Okay.
Looks like a pretty good spacing, I'd say.
It's like 11 trees there.
Let's open a public comment while somebody figures out how they're going to rephrase that condition. Looking at Dr. Dogger, Steve. All right, let's open a public comment. Sorry, any more questions? I didn't mean to jump right in public comment. Okay, let's open a public comment on 1900 Park Avenue's CUP Squatters additional deck.
Hello, council members. My name is Ralph Nagasawa. I'm the architect for Squatters. They're the tenants of the space. I'm just primarily here just to answer any questions if you guys have any direct questions. I think Ashley put together a fine report and something representative. We've met with the planning department and the city engineer, Matt Kessel, several times and worked things out. So. If anyone has any questions.
You don't see any problem with the condition of putting in additional trees?
Not at all. We were intending on, so those are just sort of place fillers, but yeah, we're going to replace, we've talked to Ashley about that, replace, get 2 to 3
I'm
inch caliber.
It's in your interest.
With this, yeah, same.
Provides an ambiance and shading.
Oh, definitely.
All right. Any questions?
All right.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Has anyone come up with a brilliant word?
I did, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, surprise, Chris.
Revision to condition of approval number 8. All significant vegetation removed as part of construction shall be replaced as shown on page 154 of the packet, which is not less than 3 inches in caliber DBH.
Perfect. Sounds good.
If I didn't, I'll be calling in if it's not on here.
Did you write that down, Bruce?
Yes, I did.
It'll be on the...
I'll get it to you. It's as shown on page 154 of the packet, not less than 3-inch caliber diameter breast high.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion?
I don't know what that means. I move to approve the CUP for 900 Park Avenue based on the finding of fact, conclusion of law, condition of approval as amended by this evening's meeting. First of all, I second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, next on the agenda is 158 Main Street. A plat amendment requesting to combine 2 existing lots.
Yes, this is Planner Moran's project. She's currently working on contact with aliens in Egypt at pyramids. So
you give her what kind of leave for that, paid leave?
Depends on what she comes back with. If she can bring me the zoning of Cairo, I'll talk to her about it.
It's the poor base, so.
This is a small lot combination up at the south end of Main Street at 158 Main Street. No real issues the planning department has determined other than a number of encroachments on the creek side of this property. I don't know if you had a chance to walk it or not, but there's a number of improvements on the city property and the neighboring properties. Tippy has added conditions of approval to clean up all of those encroachments. Ann notes that there will be a floodplain study as the letter of map revision FEMA flood zone comes up. That's condition of approval number 8. So the flood zone mapping is coming, but it's in the flood zone, so there'll be some occupancy issues on the first floor, similar to everything else along that creek. Planning staff recommend approval in accordance with the finding of fact conclusion of the law and the attached draft ordinance.
Great. Commissioners, any questions? All right. Let's open the public comment then on 158 Main Street plat. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, my name is Ed Gerdicky. The pen was stolen. I'll read this piece of paper here under penalty.
We need a pen with a big flower on it.
If you remember. Chain it to the desk.
If you like the answer, you
can. I and my lovely wife of 35 years own this property, and we live in it full time. And I want to just thank the planning person who did that. This is the first time we've actually seen all the history related to our property, which is very cool. I think I will actually end up framing that research document, so thank you. This is our residence, and we plan on being here until they drag us out of it horizontally. So thanks very much. I would like to mention something that you probably don't know. We're the only owners of private property on Main Street, a home on Main Street, that actually lived there full time. And we intend to do that, and hopefully we can get some other people to come and live there full time and not buy their houses and rent them out to other folks. So just that's an FYI for the record. And thanks again. I appreciate the work that was done on this.
All right, anyone else from the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Commissioners, comments or a motion?
I move to vote upon the recommendation to the City Council for 158 Main Street based on the findings of fact, conclusion of law, and conditions of approval as found in the draft ordinance.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, next up on the agenda. See you later. 7195 Little Bell Court.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is also plat amendments. This is a plat amendment to add 45 square feet, changing from common to private to enclose the gap. This has happened a number of times before, as evidenced in the staff report. Simple closing off of the deck and should be, there's no issues. Planning commission or planning staff recommends approval in accordance with the finding of fact, conclusion of the law, and the draft ordinance.
All right, commissioners, any questions? All right, let's open public comment then on 7195 Little Bell Court. Anyone from the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Commissioners, comments or a motion?
I will simply offer the comment that Tippy is very quickly gotten to doing great work, so these are easy to get through and really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll pass that on to Tippy.
I move that the Planning Commission forward a positive recommendation to the City Council for the 6th Amendment to the Little Bell Condominium Plat, amending Unit 5, based on the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and conditions of approval as stated in the draft ordinance.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Susier and a second by Commissioner Campbell. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, next on the agenda. Oh, can somebody step out and grab Melissa? Next on the agenda is a request for four lot subdivision known as the Village of Empire Pass.
Just in time management there.
That's pretty fast. That's pretty fast. Okay.
Uh-oh. Hello, I'm Doug Ogilvy. I represent Redis Park City, the property owner and applicant.
This one's Kirsten's.
Yep.
All the really hard ones are Kirsten's.
Listen, I thought of coming to with a big presentation to try to explain the Flagstaff annexation and the, all the pods and all the MPDs, and Bruce and I decided maybe another time. Because it's confusing, and I finally figured it out. And you know, at some point, if you're interested, we can do that for you. And because there's lots and parcels, and so anyway, this is one of the last subdivisions, the last areas that are allowed to have units, unit equivalents or units, and that have not been platted. And each of these lots here will then require a conditional use permit and then a condominium plat. That's how we're keeping track of everything, with the condominium plat, where all the square feet are documented, and then everything's recorded at the county forever and ever. This parcel is it's about 9.5 acres, and the request is for three lots development. Lots 2 and 3 are part of the Village Master Plan development, and they were identified for lodge buildings. There's no identified density, just a pool of density. And in this case, the applicant has a development covenant with the owner or the prospective buyer on 24.5 unit equivalents, and requested that that be referenced on the plat. Not necessarily that it's limited to that, but that we reference that. So that plat note has been added since the last meeting. And then lot one is for the sort of townhouse units that are these attached in some configuration, which would have to be approved by the Planning Commission as a conditional use permit before they would go forward. The table is Exhibit K in your documents. I think it's probably the very last page in this one, or maybe close to the last page, is the chart that I made some changes based on your input. We took out the EHUs for ones that have not been built. Those are the affordable, or the employee housing units. We'd like to keep track of how many actual units there are, as opposed to just the ADA or the AUEs, affordable unit equivalents, because that's the requirement of the Flagstaff development agreement. But in this case then, there was, right before the May 10th meeting, we had an issue with a skier easement that was that we needed to make sure we had the correct documentation on. So we requested a continuation to this meeting so we could get that information correct. And that is on page 2 of what's this easement right here that allows One Empire Pass, which is under construction, just adjacent, and that is on lot 15 of the Village at Empire Pass west side development, west side plat.
Can you orient me a little bit?
Yeah.
Kirsten, where's Silver Strike Lift?
Silver Strike Lift is right here where lot 4 is. And lot 4...
And which way is it moving? Left with your cursor, right,
it
up
goes,
or down?
That's the base, so it goes up.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And this is the ski run. And all those big lodge buildings are in the Village at Empire Pass west, which is on the left side where all those flatlets are.
And so was that Doug Clyde's question, is how does he get skiers onto lot 2 from the base of Silver Strike?
His question was actually the parcel up to the north of lot 2, which was that mine claim, that Marsec mine claim parcel.
Okay.
Is that he represented
Ladd
Christensen, yeah, who owned that. And Ladd's issue was there, if I blow this up a little bit, there's a like a 1 foot protection strip, and this is the way the document, the recorded document for that said in this master plan you need to provide the skier easements to these lifts. for within the village of Empire Pass, and that's recorded and it's in your packet. And it showed that protection strip. And Ladd said he felt that he should have access to it. But even if that protection strip is not there, he still doesn't have access to this easement unless he negotiates it with Lot 2. Or
what was the purpose of that protection slip?
I suppose so that if somebody wanted to access to with that property, that Marsep claim, they would need to negotiate with that property owner. I mean, I personally think they have to anyway. It's an easement for skiing, and just because there's an easement there, even if it came right to the property line. And now that was an angle I asked this applicant, if he could just take it to the property line, so at least the plat would show it, but then if somebody wanted to renegotiate and have a recorded document that said, hey, this mine claim can access that easement, the easement would be there, but it doesn't really matter if they have to record something separately. I think there's a plat. So that was a little bit of research that I did with the city attorney to look at. Let me just see if I have an overall view. And I provided the history on that Marsep claim because Doug Clyde, who was asking about that, means included his email. He said that that parcel is also a recreation parcel and should have access to the ski lift because it's part of the MPD. But it was pretty clear in those minutes that you got the 04, the July 14th and July 28th minutes, that it was not part of this master plan, even though it was annexed and part of it is zoned in the RD zone. But it's not part of the master plan development that allowed the skiing and all that access. So
the net of all of that is this approval of this plat as proposed with the conditions of findings of fact, conclusions of law, and the ordinance doesn't affect the development rights of this parcel in one way or another. Parcel is shown in the packet on 337, you'll see the mine claim. We believe that the idea was to do the annexation, bring in all the mine claims and all the issues at one time, but since this particular claim did not want to be party to the development agreement, they would have to negotiate their access rights and development rights independently of the Empire Pass development agreement. So that's a simple conclusion of what Kirsten's been working on for the last couple months. If there's any other questions on that, otherwise, Exhibit K, Kirsten, will you drop to the bottom line and just reference for the commissioners the 41 units and 46 unit equivalents left?
Yes, okay, so on this chart, Exhibit K, which is in your packet, the 1, 2, 3 column, it says units, UEs, approved and proposed, the first column is the units that are approved or proposed, and there's 509, including the 21 that have been identified for Lot 2, and including the 70 for B2, which B2 East. That takes it to 509, and they're only allowed 550 individual units. So there's 41 remaining units. That's the first column after the multifamily description. So 41 units remaining. And then if you go over a little bit further to the UE, they are allowed 785 unit equivalents in this master plan, not including the single family up in pot D. So 785, and if you look at the column, there are 738.2 that have either been approved or proposed with either a condominium or a subdivision. So that leaves 46.8 unit equivalents remaining to be identified. There's only a few parcels where those can be located. One is the Lot 1 that's before you tonight, the town horseshoe, and Lot 2.
So this will help us track the next round of approvals through here very well. The only complaint I have is it's way too small for my eyes, so.
I can help you with that.
Yeah. So anyway, the way the development agreement was written, it was a combination of unit equivalents and total number of units. They wanted to make mechanisms so units could get bigger. That's why there's slightly more unit equivalents. But there are 41 units remaining, 46 unit equivalents remaining after B2E. So there you go. That, if you have any other questions.
Okay, so staff's recommending public hearing and then request a forward a positive recommendation to City Council according to the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and conditions of approval in the draft ordinance.
I've got a question. This is a Polly question.
Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Well, listen to my ears.
So, I'm sorry.
She's a mom, she can do that.
I'm okay if you're doing this, because I know you can do two things at once. How much weight does this exhibit A hold for future? This is such a useful table, and this is the most useful. And I can't imagine how many hours it took to put all this together. But
needed to be done.
I'm just trying to get my arms around how. Because I'm assuming once the applicant is stipulating that all of these numbers are correct, we don't have a way to go back and check them. There must have been
hundreds of documents
that you went through to tabulate this. So next year when they come back and do the next thing, do all of us now agree that instead of looking back at the original plat, we're just going to go straight to this exhibit K, because that seems like where we want to go next time?
I mean, this exhibit K is a illustrative. I mean, I think it's a reflection of all those documents, but it's never been, you know, so it's just reflective. It's not in the final document that's been approved or anything like that. So I think it's very.
But once it's become that.
But this is a plat, right? So it's not. No, like we're, because let's say that there's an error in one of these, right?
I think that's what I'm trying to get out is, from a legal standpoint, is how much weight do we put into this?
I think it's just a reflection
of
what's been platted. Mm-hmm. But what's been platted kind of speaks for itself. So if someone disagreed, let's say, with, you know, units approved for Silver Strike, and or the square feet or whatever, that could be challenged. You know, this doesn't just stand on its own.
Having gone through this with Kirsten over the past year, I can assure you that very few people would have the enthusiasm to tackle this to see if there was an error in it.
But I'm trying to protect you so that next year when you come in to grab those last 40, how many was it, Kirsten, 46.8?
Right, 46.8, you lose.
You don't have to fight for them, that it's right there and everybody's agreeing that that's what's left.
Yeah, but I think ultimately we have documentation here that cross-checks back to the other documents that could prove it out. So I suspect the next applicant will pull this up and Kirsten will pull it up and everyone will go, yeah, there's a base case. You'd have to have someone have some compelling reason to think there was an error in here.
Because the UEs don't matter until they get down close to zero. You know there's lots left over. It's not a big deal. But somebody could potentially push.
Yeah, everybody cares about the last one.
Yeah.
But next time when they come back, we can look back to this document and know that we should be able to trust it because both sides are stipulating that they work on it together.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a document that was created together, but it doesn't stand, you know, it's the underlying documents that really control. So I think this is useful, but ultimately it's because it just reflects what's behind it.
Yeah, and I think we have something like this for the Deer Valley Master Plan that has been approved by the Planning Commission. So that is, it has the list that says every single parcel in Deer Valley, and this is what they were allocated, and this is what they built, and this is what the height was. And this is a similar document, but it's not that kind of standalone. It did come from all the ordinances, all the recorded plats, all the minutes. And everything that said they got this many units were approved, but then the plats would say, this is what they actually platted. So it did come from all the recorded documents. And I still have the stack of raw data. If we ever, you know, we'll scan it in, and so it'll all be in one place if somebody wants to check. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Any further questions? All right, let's open the public comment then. On the four-lot subdivision known as the Village and Empire Pass. Anyone from the public wishes to speak on this side? Seeing no one, will close the public hearing. Commissioners' comments or a motion?
I move that we forward a positive recommendation to the City Council regarding the Village and Empire Pass North subdivision plat pursuant to the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and conditions of approval in the draft ordinance.
A second.
We've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, last item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from April 12, 2017. Now that Commissioner Tim is here, any amendments or a motion to approve?
I have one amendment, and let me start by apologizing for my tardiness. On page 58, under starter was quoted as saying quite difficult on other municipalities. And I verified with him that what he originally said and what he meant was quite typical in other municipalities.
Where are you seeing that? 58, I don't have any.
It's on the screen. It's right in front of you.
Got it.
Sorry, I should have told you.
It's quite difficult.
But you made the correction, and then they didn't do it. So you've got to, had to read that in again so we can correct them.
I'm losing my voice.
When you went to correct the minutes the first time and you made that change.
Yes.
Okay, then they couldn't approve the minutes. So we have to wait until you read it into the record again on the approval, and then we'll correct it on the minutes. For the final copy that gets recorded.
Are we doing that now?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we need to do to get it in?
He just needs to say what he just said. But I thought, are you questioning that it didn't get corrected?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's trying to correct it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were questioning that you had made the correction and it didn't get corrected.
No.
Okay.
I actually do remember that, but no, I'm trying to just correct it.
To correct it. Okay, and then Luis will get it and pick it up and correct it, and the final one that gets recorded.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Uh-huh. Sorry, I misunderstood.
No worries, but you have what you need now.
I do.
Okay.
Great.
Is there a video of the treasure presentation from the last meeting on the traffic study? Or is
not
it just the audio?
No, it's just the audio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know it's something they say videotape. I wasn't sure they did that for last meeting.
I think it's Thank You's been videotaping it, wasn't it? Or was it what did the city?
Is there any way we could request a copy for the commissioners that were not here?
So I believe the videotaping was taking place during our discussions of the model and the CAD presentations when we were back in here. I don't believe I've seen, and I may have missed it, any formal videoing any further presentations. But they're all verbatim on the record. And so there aren't any.
Thank you.
Yeah,
my recollection of the ones that were videoed were for the models because they were in order to actually have an accurate record of what occurred, it's so visual that it was a way of capturing that visual. And also they wouldn't give us the program because it was copywritten and all that. So it was a way of just reflecting accurately what was being shown that night. Thanks.
It's not as pretty on the video. It is a pretty dry subject.
I bet the traffic study would not make a good video.
Yeah, I could tell. All right. Do we have a motion to approve the April 12th minutes as well?
I move we approve the April 12th minutes as amended.
Second. We've got a motion and a second by Commissioner Campbell. All in favor?
Aye.
I abstain.
As do I.
Yeah, I abstain too, because I was... No, wait, I was there.
You were here.
Yeah, I'm there. All right.
The next one.
Aye. So, motion carries. All right. We're going out. Are we?
Yeah.
Others interested? Okay. Thoughts on location? Who hasn't chosen for a while? Doug, you've never even gone on one.
No, I'm not going.
Choose for us.
This time.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you
go to the Boneyard.
Boneyard? All right. Doug Tim, who will not be attending, so we're going to the Boneyard.
Adam, you weren't there for the 10th.
At the 12th?
The 10th.
May 10th. Yeah. Because I wasn't there for May 10th, but I was there, I think, for the 12th.
That's the one we were voting on.
So did you do both? Oh, okay.
We did the other one earlier.
Earlier, yeah. But yeah. You just said you abstained, and then you said you got me all confused.
I thought we were doing April 12th just now.
He abstained, but then he corrected himself earlier. He abstained and then corrected himself and said, "Oh, no, wait, I was there.
I was there." Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you got. Yeah, I'm. You. I had him flipped.
Did we already approve? I think we already approved
four without Doug. No, other way around.
Was April 12th?
Yeah.
Oh, so I was right.
Yeah.
All right, then I abstained from the April 12th. So
okay.
You'll have to go back and change that.
Yeah.
And I move I on the April
okay.
10th.
Okay. I'll fix it.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. All right, so Boneyard Public,
but that
it is encouraged to
because
attend
it was
no official
the
business
one
will be
it, they did it wrong.
Do we have a motion
the
there?
April 12th one was the one that we needed to wait for Doug.
We have a motion in a second.
May 10th was just the last one.
Right. And we waited.
Yeah.
I think they just said April 12th on the last motion.
Yeah.
Next time.
They did. They said April 12th on the last motion. But he did make it confusing because he went back and forth, right?
I'll fix it. It's on the tape. I'll get it.
Yeah. And the good thing is